From the e-marketing summit at Inditech Portland, it's the Conversion Scientist.
Does this thing...
Oh.
Wow. Noah, I want you to build an ark. Thank you for coming. My name is Brian Massey. I'm the Conversion Scientist at Conversion Sciences. We're going to talk today about your social conversion rate. So there is a lot of discussion about conversion rates. I'm sorry, about social media, Twitter, blogging. What should we be doing? How do we know if we're doing it right? How do we implement it? How do we pick the places to start? Should we be on Facebook? Should we be on Twitter? I don't know. I really don't know. So the goal of my presentation today is to give you guys a way of looking at social media so that you can make those decisions specific to your business. Now, this is a new presentation for me. It is fairly academic at this point. And so throughout the presentation, I would like you to interrupt me with questions. I would like you to argue with me. You can scream bull. During the presentation, and we will expand this presentation in real time together. Does that work? When I'm done going through my fabulous slides, I'm going to ask a few of you to tell me about your business, and we will see how your business might use what I've put together here to make good decisions about social media. So getting your courage up to raise your hand after I get through kind of explaining my concepts, all right? Any questions before we get started? All right. So I'm going to start with a premise, which you may or may not buy. This is a good chance to yell bull. Advertising was designed to simulate word of mouth when word of mouth was inefficient. Was it designed purposefully for that? But that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to have a trusted relationship where we could recommend our own products with more people than we would get simply by waiting for word of mouth to filter through. Today, that's not the case. Word of mouth, individual to individual word of mouth, is very efficient. So things are changing in advertising. This next slide is going to show you everything I'm going through, so don't get intimidated by it. This is the concept. So there's a couple concepts we're going to talk about. Paid media and earned media, which I've redefined a little bit. We're going to talk about the... Wow. We're going to talk about the typical funnel that we're all aware of. Some add a stage to this. Some add several stages to this, but the awareness consideration funnel. And then we're going to talk about the post-purchase funnel. Dave Evans, in his book, Social Media Marketing, An Hour a Day, does an excellent treatment of the post-purchase funnel. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here today to co-present with me, so I get to take all the credit. We're going to talk about two kinds of metrics, predictive and definitive, and talk about some of the things we might measure in each of these stages. The arrows are conversions. So I'm going to define conversion as a movement to the next stage. For most of us, a conversion is generating a lead, somebody completing a shopping cart. And that is still true. But in looking at the funnel, we realize we need to convert people to understand what our business does, to be considering our solution as part of their solutions, and then, of course, to take action. So in different businesses, we're going to map differently to this. It's going to be an interesting challenge. Any questions about where we're going? Awesome. Let's start with paid media. This is very simple. Put in a quarter and connect with someone. Buy a print ad. Buy a display ad. Google AdSense. Pay-per-click advertising. However you're advertising, paid media, where you pay somebody for the right to put your message out in public, is considered paid media. Generally, or traditionally, earned media was applied to articles in press. Today, we really can apply it to social media. So I've expanded the definition of earned media to include social conversation. I like earned media better than social media, because social media sounds like we're out talking to people. Earned media sounds like we're out earning our media. And I think that is really where the bar needs to be set. Your content needs to be worthy of being talked about. Your product needs to be worthy of being talked about. How you talk about your product needs to be worthy about being talked about. Okay? So any questions on difference between paid media and earned media? Pretty straightforward. We're going to talk about two kinds of metrics. There are predictive metrics and there are definitive metrics. Predictive metrics are something the conversion scientists, of which all of you will become one day, use to get an idea of what's going to happen. So I know if somebody adds to cart, that's pretty predictive of them buying something. But not everybody buys. We call that the abandon rate. Somebody visiting my webpage is predictive of the level of awareness. So they've come to my webpage. I can assume they're aware of my company or my brand. It's predictive. If my bounce rate is 90%, it's not a very good predictor. So number of average page views for visit, time on site, those are more definitive. Definitives tell you what is happening and what has happened. So I like definitive measurements because they're usually really close to business goals. They bought the product. They downloaded the white paper. They gave us a lead. They called. Okay? And we're going to talk about what some of those metrics would look like. So let's talk about the levels of conversion. First is conversion to awareness. When somebody says, this company does this, they become aware of what your brand, what your company does, what problem it can solve for them, what problem it might solve for them in the future. Brand marketing is designed, brand marketing and image marketing are designed to get people to understand what you're about. Usually at a very high level, but good brand marketing can take you quite far down. Any questions about conversion to awareness? So a couple of metrics we would look at here. Predictive. Impressions. So how many impressions are we getting? How many people are seeing our ads and ostensibly reading them and understanding what our brand is about? Becoming aware of our company. RSS subscribers. Searches that are made for brand keywords. Those are all what I would call predictive measures. So as you're thinking about putting together a social media campaign, for each media you need to be asking, what are my predictors? Do I want to measure those? Or do I want to focus more on the definitive measures? So from the awareness standpoint, if they do come to my website, I might infer that that is an accurate measure of their knowledge of my awareness. Now, if I come to a brochure page and tells me I'm the leader in something that I don't understand, doesn't tell a story, they may not actually understand and be aware of what we actually do. They just come to a brochure website. Click-throughs, page views, contest entries if you're running a contest, bounce rate. These are all definitive measures of how we're doing from the awareness standpoint. Anybody have any others? Awareness? How do you measure awareness? How do you measure how well people are becoming aware of what you're doing through your advertising? Anything to add to this? Here's one back here. Which I would argue is a consideration conversion. So we'll talk about that next. Any others at the awareness level? So hold that thought. Are you Ed?
Yeah.
They were looking for you here, trying to fix your connection problem. I was told to pass that on. So this is conversion to consideration. I'm happy to help. Social marketing is all about helping, right? Process of developing a preference for what you... The process of someone developing a preference for what you provide. So in a lot of business-to-business sales processes, this can be a 30-day, 60-day, 3-month, 6-month, 9-month process. People are buying something that's high-budget item. A lot of people may be involved. So there are lots of little conversions that happen in here as they go through the consideration process and understand what you do, why you're better, what their alternatives are, what happens if they go without, what happens if they choose someone else, going through that consideration process around your product or service. So predictive metrics that I would focus on are number of return visits. So if you are in a high consideration process, return visits would indicate they're coming back for more information, and you can generate return visits with good things like good email campaigns and good social campaigns. Bookmarks. How many people are bookmarking a piece of information that they're consuming? Key page visits. Key pages are first and foremost your landing pages, I believe. Home page. And your buy pages or your product pages. Number of searches made. Time on site. Those are all predictive of people who are engaging with you, who are in the consideration process. Definitively, this is where leads and downloads comes from. So I know that they are learning more about my product if they're downloading things, giving me information, calling me, attending my webinars, attending my seminars. I believe that RSS subscribes is a sample of that. We don't know how many people are really reading through RSS, so this really might qualify better as a predictive metric. Newsletter circulation, visits to comparison, shopping pages, and any online chats that they're doing. All indicative of consideration, conversion, people who are engaged. Any questions about consideration? How many of you have a sales cycle that is longer than 30 days? 60 days? 3 months? 9 months? Oof. A year? We got 1 year still? 2 years? Man, you've got to do a lot of selling. So you've got to keep people engaged and entertained. And the web is such a great way to do that. Such a great way to do that. And with social media, we actually have the opportunity to get other people to help us do that, as the Obama campaign did so well, we saw. Conversion to action. So when we say conversion, this is usually what we're focused on. They bought something. They became a lead. They did something that is going to materially benefit my business. Add to cart, coupons are a couple of predictive, action-based ones. I think all of the consideration ones I generally use as predictive. If somebody has joined the house list, they increase, in my eyes, the number of people who are going to be buying, even if that's over time. Anybody want to add anything to these predictives? Is there anybody who's watching anything on their website that tells you things are moving in the right direction or not? No? Here's something. Find a dealer. I think that would be a great predictive one. How many people are searching for dealers? Absolutely. Great idea. Let me steal that. Steal that later. I'll remember that one. Anybody else got anything like that? That's a great idea. No? Okay. Definitively, well, they buy something, right? They subscribe to our online service. They renew, they upgrade, upsell, add on, and they purchase again, repurchase. I think that's actually a typo, but it worked, didn't it? So we've got our traditional awareness, consideration, action funnel. All of us are taught that in marketing school, or we learn it from our sales guys. And what we do with social media is we say, all right, we need to do blogs and Twitter so that we can start cramming more people into the awareness, get them into the front, and work them down to action. That's what we're going to do with social media. Dave Evans, in his book, Social Media Marketing, An Hour a Day, since he's not here, I got to plug him a lot, conceived of a different shape for the funnel. He said there's a post-purchase funnel, and these guys are your prime targets for social media. They know your product, they like it or they hate it, but these are where you're going to find your influencers, the guys that will build your tipping point, that will spread the word, and begin the feedback cycle, which Dave talks about in his book. So just like we did with awareness, consideration, and action, we're going to go through the same process with the last half of the funnel. First of all, you have to convert them to use the product. What? If they buy it, they spent money on it, aren't they going to use it? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. So think about the Web 2.0 applications. And I'm from Austin, so I've got a bit of a technology bent. So I apologize if my examples are a little skewed that way. Please jump in if you have a better example, something a little bit less arcane. But think of all the people who are building Web 2.0 applications who do a freemium model, and they come in and they sign up for the free trial, the free demo, software companies, and then they don't do anything to encourage the person to use it. Well, they forget about it, maybe they did it on a whim, it seemed important at the time, something more important came up, whatever the issue is. If you aren't actively converting people from buyers to users, you are missing an opportunity. So what does that mean from the social media funnel? Well, visits to your help site, service calls, visits to your user forums, these are all what I think are predictive of increased use. So if you have an increase in visitors to your forums, an increase in posts on your forums, increase in help calls, that means people are trying to use your product. So I would call that predictive. Anybody have any interesting predictive things to watch that tells people that they're using your product? No? Reservations is a great example. Reservations predicts coming and spending money. Anything else? Here's one. Loyalty program and repeat buy. So is that loyalty and repeat buy? I wonder if that is more in the opinion stage. Now, none of these have to be in any certain stage. I think it's a great idea, and I think we need to discuss it. I like to put things into models, though. I'm a scientist, you know. Anything else? I think those are two great ideas. Here's one.
Let's say people looking for help or tips and tricks, like when you buy Adobe software, you go into their web page all the time to get information.
Yes.
And then they always email you something every month also to tell you about a different thing.
Yes, yes. So that's, I mean, I think that underscores a point that I'm a little bit biased towards, is that people running out to start Twitter and Facebook groups have not figured out how to use email to engage some of these folks. That's interesting. It very well could be. If you have easy access to that data, it qualifies as a metric. Of course, you know, you can study things that take hours for you to collect, and the harder it is to collect the data, the less valuable it becomes, or the more expensive, I guess, it becomes. But that's an interesting one. Any others? Definitive. Unique logins. So we're just talking about logins. Renewals, registration cards. Returns. People are using it. They might not like it. They're returning it. You look at a company like Zappos that lets you order three or four sizes of the same shoe and return the others. Returns are a very positive thing for them. So does anybody have any definitive metrics that they use? They just know people are using it? Logins, I think, is probably the closest you're going to get if you have a website as a service, something you deliver through the web. Okay. We then need to convert them to form an opinion. Oh my God, are we spoon-feeding these people? Can they not think for themselves? There's really two components to opinion. It's my own personal experience and the experience of others. So my opinion might be swayed by what I hear from other folks. It's certainly going to be swayed by my own experience. But people tend to want to either be contrary to the crowd or join the crowd. And so depending on what the talk is, the buzz is out there in the social networks or the social media space about your product, it can significantly influence opinion. We all know that, right? So I propose the Net Promoter Score. How many of you are familiar with the Net Promoter Score? About a third of you, a quarter of you. Net Promoter Score asks one question. Would you, after using my product, recommend it to somebody else? They survey, they go out and they ask that one question. And they ask you on a scale of 1 to 10, I think is the most common. There's a consulting firm that does nothing but this. On a scale of 1 to 10, would you recommend my product? So you take the positives, subtract the negatives, and that gives you your Net Promoter Score. And if your Net Promoter Score is negative, you know that there is something wrong with the product, with the experience, with follow-up, customer support, et cetera. So great, great predictive measure of opinion. Surveys, doing surveys, there's a number of ways of measuring buzz. And I'm not going to talk about the tools you would go out and measure. I'm assuming that we're all still trying to figure out exactly how to prioritize and spend our money and resources at this time. So I'm not going to talk about those tools, but I think there's been a lot of discussion about those here. What are the comments like? How good are the ratings? How good are the reviews if you're using any of those tools? Definitively, are people renewing? Are they upgrading, upselling, add-on purchases? Are they joining affinity groups? How are my returns? How many bookmarks am I getting? This tells me people are plugging into the places, A, where they can hear other people's opinion, and B, eventually express their own. Anybody have any to add? What are you doing to predict whether people are forming an opinion? In other words, how do you know? So I wonder if the loyalty programs don't indicate somebody who's bought the product, used the product, developed enough of a positive attitude that they anticipate buying more of the product and joining the loyalty product. Probably fits better here in the opinion conversion. Would you agree? Anybody else have anything interesting to predict people who love them or hate them? So you've got a lot. You've got access to the these metrics, the comments and ratings and reviews. You can actually go and look and see what people are saying.
And okay. Anyone can see what anyone else is saying. And it's a free service. We just wanted to see what people had to say about Portland and how much they like it. And mm-hmm. also use that as an opportunity to reach out to businesses that maybe get a lower rating and say, "Hey, we want to let you know that you have an issue here," and we let them work that out.
Very interesting. So, literally, signing up and encouraging people to go and visit these places, and we're going to talk about what I call social landing pages near the end of this set of slides, but that's exactly what you're talking about there. A place where... Right, right. I also brought something else up for me. One of my clients is selling a software website as a service product, and they're using a book to teach people the process of using the site and why it's different, why it's unique. So people who visit the book site and buy the book is actually predictive of people using the software. So that's an interesting use of content as a predictor. Anything else? Any definitive measures? Anybody plugging into the opinion mill? Okay. Finally, what we're all really looking for, conversion to talk. Give them some place to talk. Now, today they're finding a lot of places to talk. You don't necessarily have to give them a place to talk, but if you can, then you get to be a part of the conversation. So people are off talking on Pixo and Bebo and places that you don't play, you don't get to be a part of the conversation. If they're coming and talking on your blog, you get to play. So it is a really good idea to create these social landing pages. So the things that people are talking about was really interesting. Rahaf said that if somebody comes in and tells you they're going to get you 10,000 followers on Facebook, what value is it? So I believe friends and follows, authority, are all predictive. So yes, having a lot of friends on Facebook can be predictive somewhat. You're going to find out whether 10,000 friends translates into X sales per month of your product, X number of leads of your product. Search, your rank, so using things like Technorati, Google Blog Search, if you're doing something on a blog, but your Google Page Rank, these are all indications of people who are linking back to you, and they're very predictive of how you're doing out there. And I have no idea what KS is. Oh, Bookmar. Definitively, so things that you can measure, things you can put on a graph, I'm a scientist, I like that kind of thing. Number of comments, number of reviews, number of ratings, how many link backs are you getting, how many shares are you having through share this with a friend, how many people are using discount codes, sending out invitations, how many user groups, what are your user group memberships, both online and offline. These are definitive measurements of people who are putting themselves in a position to talk about, well, talk about whatever. If they like you, they're likely to talk about you. Anybody have anything to add to this? Predictive or definitive measures of people who are talking? Here's some.
Well, there was a podcast that lived afterwards. People went back to, you know, the marketing summit and listened to your interview, an indicator that people...
It would be. So people coming and listening to my podcast was actually a consideration behavior, but what?
No,
go ahead and finish your thought.
I was going to say, because they're seeking you out on another site to get more information about you, even though it's not housed on your site, it's still a measurement of interest.
That's very interesting. So how's this sound? A predictive metric, and I like this because you're in control of it, a predictive metric of talk, how many posts you make on other blogs. So I just got an email from somebody. I posted something on LinkedIn. He came back, visited my site, and commented on my blog and talked about a book that I'm in the process of publishing. So the more posts you make is predictive of the number of posts you're going to be on your blogs. And there is a correlation there. The number of posts you make on your own blog, it's almost like a dial. When I post 3 times a week, my traffic just goes. When I stop and come and cut back to 1 a week, 2 a month, sorry guys, it drops. Or at least flattens out. It's almost like a volume switch. I need to add that to this slide. Because that is really in your control. I'm sorry? Well, if people are using hashtags, I mean that would be a definitive, I think that would be definitive measure of talk. Absolutely. So if you can use the Twitter API or go do a regular search and harvest those things. The problem with Twitter is that it's big and it's expensive to get those metrics out right now. So it's hard for me on a weekly basis to make strategic decisions. But the people who are representing me on Twitter will use those on a day-to-day basis to respond and be a part of the conversation. So yeah, absolutely. Twitter hashtags, I'll add that to definitive. What else? Good ideas.
Would URLs fall under definitive because you can actually track?
Links back to the site?
Yeah.
So those are good measures of the feedback cycle. So that is when talk turns into consideration and awareness, I think. Yes, and you can do all of that with Google Analytics for free, absolutely.
That's how we do it.
Great.
So
yes?
We're in a cycle with that.
I would say that as a definitive measure. I think, you know what? I don't know. I'd have to think about that. And I don't think everything has to fit into these categories. What I want to do is use this so anything you can do to measure, that sounds predictive of something because they're coming to a website and we don't know what it's going to mean. That could be an awareness thing. That could be over on the, you know, it's essentially a measure of click-throughs. But as you start to say, okay, we need some way to measure use, we need some way to measure opinion, we need some way to measure talk, and we need some way to measure the feedback loop to the original funnel, you start to think, okay, well, let's use Bud URL, let's use Google Tag Tracking. You start to put the things in place that just measure those things rather than just, all right, we need a Twitter page. Puts a little bit of planning in place. And you know if it's not working for you, you can stop it, see? Although, can you really unplug yourself from the social media sphere? I don't know. Others? Any others? So let's talk about social landing pages. Now, we all know that in the awareness, consideration, action funnel, landing pages are incredibly powerful. If we have an ad that says 20% off and we take them to a page that says 20% off instead of taking them to our home page, they are in the right place and we are more likely to engage them and get them to finish. If our landing page does not give them distractions, distracting navigation, ways for them to hedge their buys and things like that, but really gives them the information they need to make that decision, to buy that product at that time, our conversion rates go up. So what are the social equivalents? I would argue the best social landing page right now, and the reason I think they're so successful, is the blog. And I like the blog because it services all three levels of the social media funnel, the post-purchase funnel. So it provides information, which means people can better use your product or service. In this case, I write a lot of best practices about how to implement email, how to implement landing pages, how to write copy, the things that I recommend to my clients. I use my blog to increase use. User commentary will influence opinions, so you can comment on my blog. People add, people subtract, people argue, if I'm lucky. So this helps to influence opinion. It also helps to influence use. Calls to action to generate talk. There's a big box on there that says, if you've got something to say, here's a place to say it. Comment here. At the same time, blogs are promotional. You really can't see any of the promotions, but I promote books that I believe in and things like that on my website. And there is a way to join email. So I am providing specific offers which bring people from my blog back around to the awareness or the consideration phase. And the beauty of this kind of word of mouth is that people tend to jump in at the consideration phase because the earned media has already taken them through awareness. So you don't have to worry about explaining to them what you do. You can start talking to them about solving their problems. Questions or dissensions? Comments to add about the blog as a social landing page?
When you talked about the landing pages, do you have an opinion about whether you should create a unique page that doesn't say have your blog, but you know that click directly came from your Twitter post or something that you sent out there that is a one-to-one tracking?
Yeah, so any time that I can track a click, and I use BudURL too, it's Austin Company, awesome product, $4 a month. Anytime I put something out in the social media, I use a trackable URL. And I tell you what, I geek out. Because you end up with this incredible list of all the URLs and things you're talking about. And it can get a little addictive. Sometimes it can be one of those refresh things as if you're on a hot topic and see things going. But that tells you what content is getting traction, what posts are interesting, and it is always not what you expect. My most brilliant, sparkling and enlightened posts never get the traffic of the ones I write. Oh, I gotta dash it off. I don't know. I'm learning a lot about my audience, and you will too. Others.
Do you utilize Twitter or that page?
I don't, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't. So I'm a one-man company. So social media is actually very expensive, very very expensive at my company. So I really can't allocate enough time to have a complete soup-to-nut social media marketing campaign. It really depends on products, and I get involved typically to help my clients implement specific strategies. So I've never worked a lot with LinkedIn, but a client is doing a job search site and a job search ebook. So now I'm into LinkedIn to help them implement those strategies. So I think it really depends on what you're trying to accomplish. I've heard good things about Squidoo. And the search guys love it. Others? So I do talk about some more social landing pages. The help page. So this will be good for use. Help pages increase use. Give them some resources. Put those in your notification emails, which I'll talk about here. Forums. So we've been doing social media actually for years and years and years, going all the way back to the use groups. That's 25 years ago. Social media forums. It has all the components. You can tell people who are highly active. They don't do friending. All right, who did that? That wasn't even me, was it? What was I saying? Oh, number of posts is the trust system they use here. So you know you trust somebody if they're a guru or senior poster, they have 1,000 or 25,000 posts since joining on a forum. Microblogs. I'm still trying to figure out what the best practices are in terms of measuring Twitter's impact. I think the measurable URLs coming back from the Twitterverse, being able to do searches for tags. And there are, I mean, Twitter is really just a telephone company, and the applications that are going to be coming on to help us manage and understand what's going on in the Twitterverse are going to be amazing, I think. Affinity groups, Facebook groups, drawing a blank. Affinity groups. Somebody throw some affinity groups out here. Y'all are drawing a blank too. I'm sorry. So this is the Web Strategies for Business group that I run on Facebook. This is for people who've been to my seminars and are interested in figuring out which strategies they should be investing in. So it's an affinity group for me, honestly. Right. Exactly. And Facebook, everybody's doing groups now. LinkedIn was the other one I was really trying to think of. So on LinkedIn, you can join groups now. Everybody's creating these resources for affinity groups. So these become great landing pages. You can post. You can encourage other people to post. You can post videos. So you do the entertainment. You're increasing use. You're increasing opinion. And you're giving them a place to talk. So these are pretty effective. A lot of these are siloed. So in this case, this is a fan page, so everybody can see this. But to participate, you have to be a member of Facebook. So you start to get in these siloed things, and it's going to reduce your social conversion rates. And finally, Bacon. I think this is completely underutilized. Bacon is the notification email version of spam. It is the confirmation email that you get. It is the, this one is a great example. This one was sent to me by Mint after I hadn't logged on for 30 days and said, "We miss you. We just want you to come back and log in." Actually, it was a great service because I had gone in and started doing something, got distracted, and forgot. And they sent me this. I got back in, and I love using Mint now, so I'm really glad they sent me this little bit of bacon. Whenever you send a confirmation, says, "Thank you for subscribing to the newsletter. We want to confirm your email. Click here," and don't add. Let's think of a better example. Somebody's just subscribed to your site, to your online site, and you say, "Thank you for joining. Click here to confirm your email," and that's all you put on there. Well, how about, "Here's where you can get started. Here's our help files. There's a forum you can visit." You can start getting people into the use with each of these notification emails. And I think it's terribly underutilized. Every touch is an opportunity to get people further down, to create another conversion. So that is it. What I wanted to do is once again plug my friend Dave, who's really did a lot of the legwork on around this. But thanks for your contributions, and the presentation will get better, I promise, thanks to you. So
thank you. We're good.
Thank you for listening to the Conversion Scientist Podcast. Learn more at www.conversionscientist.com. I'm Brian Massey.